My friends, I would like to begin with the bottom line. The development and the nurturing of leaders, of leadership at every level of the organization, I suggest, is the competitive advantage of the future. I suggest that everything flows from it. Now, to go to the second part of the bottom line, I believe that if that nurturing and development of leaders and leadership is principle-centered, that it will enable organizations, families, to make literal quantum leaps in improvement. Major breakthroughs will take place. Victor Hugo said, "There is nothing as powerful as an idea whose time has come." I believe the idea of principle-centered leadership, time has come. I think it's the key to this decade. I think it pertains to families and social organizations, religious organizations, as well as professional and business organizations. And what I'm going to try to develop is what principle-centered leadership is. Now, you're going to have to really work with me, because this is a process of understanding that will build, in a sense, line upon line. And the hope is that we will come to understand what you might call, what science calls, a paradigm, a way of thinking that surrounds the whole concept of principle-centered leadership. If you want to make small improvements in your lives, in your relationships, in your families, in your organizations, then work on your behavior, or perhaps shape your attitude up a little. You know, get a little more positive, a little more cheerful, work harder. But if you want to make major improvements, quantum leaps in performance as an individual, in your family life, in your organizational life, don't work on your behavior. Don't work on your attitudes. Work on your paradigms. Behavior and attitudes will inevitably follow. A paradigm is a way of thinking. A paradigm is like a mental model. A good way of thinking about a paradigm is that it's a map. If you had an inaccurate map of the city that you're in, and you're trying to find a certain location, what success would you have? By working on your behavior, that is, doubling your speed, really going at it, you'd be lost twice as fast. If you shaped up your attitude, if you went and studied positive thinking and applied positive thinking, now you wouldn't care you're lost, but you're still lost. The problem had nothing to do with behavior. It had nothing to do with diligence. It had nothing to do with attitude. It had everything to do with the fact that you had a wrong map, a wrong way of thinking. I suggest that the key is to learn how to examine your maps or your paradigms, to see if they are really accurate, to see if the map reflects the territory accurately and correctly. They used to bleed people in order to heal them. That was a paradigm. Before Semmelweis and other of the great pioneers developed the germ theory, which was a paradigm about disease, you would find more people in the back lines dying from wounds than the front lines. Women were dying from childbirth unnecessarily and preferred midwives because they washed themselves. They didn't know the reason. Eventually, the paradigm was developed and the understanding came. In every field of science, the significant breakthroughs were always breakwiths. Ptolemy, the Egyptian astrologer, had a paradigm that the Earth was the center of the universe. In fact, the Sun was the center of our universe, and that paradigm, or theory, or hypothesis, or model, whatever you wish to call it, wasn't developed until later by Copernicus. And there was tremendous resistance to this concept.
Take our government today. Our Constitution, the founding of this country, was based basically on a paradigm that broke with the paradigm of the Middle Ages. No more divine right of kings. It became government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Recently, I visited Russia. This was just a little before all of these recent events have taken place. The problem was not in the people. It was in the paradigm underlying their governmental structure.